This show was made at Access Radio Taranaki in New Plymouth, thanks to New Zealand On Air. For more local content, search for accessradiotaranaki.com.
My name is Alina. I'm originally from Romania, and I am bringing to you this show today, Making Yourself at Home. I have my beautiful co-host here, Amna.
Good morning.
Good morning, Amna. How are you today?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm great. Yeah, just had a beautiful recording with our guest today, Martina.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you, Martina?
Very well, very well. Thank you.
Yes. Well, such a beautiful morning. Martina was interviewing me about plants and herbs here in New Zealand and what I'm planting in my garden. And I didn't realize that I have so many things in my garden. And thank you, Martina, for reminding me about that.
No worries. Just a little bit. At the back of your mind, what can you do and what would you like to have in your garden to bring to your kitchen?
Exactly right. Mm. And I have a lot of things in my garden, which I didn't know. And to present a little bit to Martina, so Martina, she's originally from Croatia, and she came in New Zealand 30 years ago.
Quite a while, right?
And I know Martina because I was attending one of her workshops from Blue Petal, New Zealand, and I was so happy to do the sauerkraut workshop with her. So I learned how to do sauerkraut. And also my daughter was part of it. And we are so lucky to have here Martina.
It was a fun one.
It was a fun one, right?
Even Victoria liked it.
Yes, she loved it. So Martina is in Taranaki for 30 years, as I said. And she was first settling in Auckland before moving to Taranaki through her work in the oil industry. Her mother used to say she had gone to the end of the world, and if she's gone any further, she'd be on her way back.
Coming closer to her, yes.
Coming closer to her, right?
It's so far away from everywhere.
Yeah. Yes, it is, right? And I think we feel the same with you, Martina. I'm just trying to bring my mother here for Christmas again, but she said, it's too far away.
From year to year, at our age, you start feeling that age. And with our parents' generation, it's even harder for them. There is a big difference from year to year on their body and a decision to come to the end of the world.
Yeah, I think it is.
Yeah.
And like I always, you know, my mother always says, you know, if I come there, I come for forever. I can't just come back.
And I'm trying to convince my parents to come to New Zealand, even though my father won't be coming. Like, he says it's too far away. And my mother is quite big on traveling, so she just recently went to Malaysia with her sister. So she ends up going with these traveling groups. She enjoys traveling. So I'm trying to convince her that just take the plunge. You have to come to New Zealand also. Just check that bucket list.
Once you're on the plane, on board, it will take you to your destination.
Yeah, but I think it's the long hours and the idea that now, even though she's very active otherwise, but she's afraid that, God forbid, health-wise something happens. Yeah. Then what will I do? How will you guys manage? I don't want to be a burden on you. So those extra thoughts, you know, that even though I'm pretty sure nothing will happen, but...
Well, even if it happens, will it happen here or in Malaysia or anywhere else? We are in a modern world. We have doctors.
Mm. Yeah, we have doctors, right? And I think it's like, because we talk on our show about migrants and how we make ourselves at home, I think for us it's quite a big thing, and that we don't have our families next to us.
And support. And how to get support without our own family.
Exactly. Mm. And like, you know, like Amna, I know she has also two small kids and me, same. And sometimes we are missing that
mum
to be there, you know, doing our garden or taking the kids to school or cooking for us some traditional food.
Yeah, at times, even I think I'm going through that time right now, like where I'm second guessing so many things, and part of me is just homesick and missing my parents and family, that support system, that I wish there was somebody here that I can just, I know I can just blindly rely on, that I just need some air to breathe. And
my dear ladies, yes. Compared to the time when I came and counting every minute on that phone that was so precious, having the WhatsApp or Viber or whatever it is, it's so accessible, not only to talk but to see them. Seeing them is reading between the lines. What do they think and what they haven't told us? It's so precious to get that insight, seeing them. Mm. So it's not so far away.
It's not so far away, right? And like you said, Martina, right? You came in New Zealand 30 years ago. Tell us how it was for you to be far away from your family.
Oh, you just touched the spot. Yes, it was more than 30 years ago when I left the work and I left my family. And every second on that phone call was so precious and so expensive.
Yeah, I imagine.
It was long distance. It takes time, and you put the roots and you decide which way to go. And I am at home now.
You're at home, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Amazing.
It took a while. I still have to think, is it a spring in September or is it autumn in September? And it's easy to know that I can go into the gentles at Christmas.
Yeah.
Sometimes it rains and sometimes it's cold. My parents have two clocks, one for New Zealand time, one for Croatian
time.
Did they?
Oh, amazing.
So it's, they kind of, it's still hard, and it's not only season difference, it's also the daytime difference. It's about 12 or 10 hour difference. So you have to think about these things, when to call and how. Should you greet them the same way as the evening with your time? But no, Martina is contrary. She's good morning and over there is evening.
Yeah. Yes. Last night my mom said, oh, it was, I think, 8 p.m. And she was asking me, oh, and what are you doing today? Are you taking the kids to the park, to the playground?
And it's already the end of the day.
Yeah. Yes. And I said, oh, yeah, I think we are just going to sleep.
Yeah.
Sometimes, you know, we forget.
Easy.
Forget if it's easy, if it's day or nighttime, right?
It happens, but accidentally.
So tell us a little bit more about you, Martina. So you arrived here more than 30 years ago. And where are you originally from Croatia?
The place is called Sisak. It's very close. It's about 60 kilometers to the capital, Zagreb. It was a big economical center with a refinery, with the steel mill, with the food industry. And over these 30 years that I haven't been there, things changed a lot. The country became a part of EU. The industry was sold, shared, destroyed post-war. It's a very different way of living there. They're putting a lot of effort into a tourism, but tourism is not a year-round, especially along the coast. And the young generation is leaving in heaps.
It? Okay.
It's a nice place to come and visit, especially along the coast. The summers are something that I remember, nice and warm, probably even warmer than what I can remember, and it's summer there at the moment. For us migrants, we are kind of using both feet in a country where we are at the moment and the country we left. But it is important to decide or to find out which way to go, because the life continues going there where we left, and we are having a life here that we are trying to get be a part of.
Mm.
But we do have our heritage, that it's a part of us.
Mm. It is, right?
Our roots.
Mm. Our roots. Mm. Spread across the continents.
Yeah. And when you moved here 30 years ago, how was life for you then as compared to where you are now?
I left Croatia not knowing how long the war will continue.
Mm.
And that was time, because it would have been within a 5 years of my early working time in oil industry, post-university. And at that situation, I couldn't see where the life is going. It wasn't a nice way of living there.
Mm. Mm.
It was a daily threat, and you never know, will you be coming home from work? You had to come to work just to be accounted. I left my parents and my brother and a dog there. And Mum gave me enough for the return ticket, as it is, or as a help to stay here. I was lucky to find a work in geothermal industry in Auckland. And I was lucky to find a lovely group of friends from Croatia that set me around to see where is the warehouse, where to buy the iron and the kettle.
So important, right?
So first things. Things that you can buy secondhand, because that's not something we used to do at home.
Mm.
And to get into the way of New Zealand living, that by inviting you to a gathering, you bring a plate full, not empty, because in a gathering you could be short on plates, but it's also nice to share your way of contribution to the party. In time, I did manage to find another work here in New Plymouth, and that's where I met my husband and started letting the roots down.
Hmm, beautiful.
Lovely.
Yeah, and this happened in New Plymouth. How long after you were in New Zealand?
I was in Auckland for 5 years.
5 years.
And then I came to New Plymouth. So my boy just had the 25th birthday.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday to my boy.
He's listening to us, hopefully.
And yes, 26 years in New Plymouth with my special little last project, developing Blue Petal.
Mm.
And the big show-off I have to, because it's so fresh under the mint, New Zealand Awards were in mid-August, and two of Blue Petal products were finalists for the New Zealand Food Awards.
Yeah,
congratulations.
Thank you, ladies.
Great news for you.
Yeah, it's from oil industry. How did you switch to herbs and to Blue Petal? How did Blue Petal come about?
Yes, it was a big step. Oil industry is something that I studied. It's a very male-orientated industry, but it's very structured. It's something that when I was thinking of going to university, it was a bit a decision to make. And it was a successful path that put me on my feet and gave me the start to my life. How to explain it? It's probably the connection again to the land from a different perspective. And I learned a lot. It was a big change from living with a family, then going through university, and then finding yourself on your own feet in a very male-orientated industry. Yeah. Maybe because of that, or because of the way how I managed to deal with people, or would that be connection to the land that I always had? It was always a very positive relationship. It was very different when I came to New Zealand because oil industry was very expat orientated. And it wasn't so warm. It was very, career orientated with expats. But depends on a person how you put yourself up front. About 15 years ago, I've decided that that's it. The company was going through a lot of restructuring through the oil industry, and that was the part of stress that I was going through. And through the last oil industry or our company that managed to go through some hard times and finally close down, I was faced towards what to do with my life. It's a small country, it's a small industry, and with my boy going through the in between primary and secondary school, it was the time to put a little bit more effort there. And New Zealand offered so many lovely, very affordable organic horticulture courses that I took the benefits of. There were a lot of courses organized by Dee Turner, our great organic lady here in Taranaki, that I learned a lot from. And bit by bit, I came across another great teacher from South Island, Valmai Becker, where I got involved with herbs, and that led to my little blue petal.
Amazing.
It's such an interesting name, blue petal. Why blue petal? Why not red petal or white petal? Why blue petal? Is there a story behind that?
There's always a story behind it.
There's always one.
It's not only herbs and growing that blue petal is. Blue petal is also very much connected with beekeeping. Bees are such a lovely creatures that we need and are very important in our daily survival and living. And bees see the world in a different way. They are connected to the color blue. So you won't see many beekeepers in blue overalls because they would be covered with bees.
I didn't know that.
That's so interesting.
So that's where the blue part of the blue petal comes. And at the time when I was looking to had to find the name for the company or for the business, it wasn't an easy project. But that connection between beekeeping and botanicals had to be a botanical part next to the blue, and that's where the petal comes.
How lovely.
It is lovely, right? Blue petal. Yeah. It's always when I heard that name, and I really like your logo, you know, with the dark blue with the petal. It's beautiful.
Thank you.
Such an exciting story behind your brand name. And I think it kind of strengthens your brand even more when you have beautiful stories behind each and everything that you've done, from branding name and your products that you make. So all that matters, and it kind of shows, and I'm quite excited to hear this story behind the brand name. Interesting. So I just wanted to, it's on top of my head, I just shook your hand and I just mentioned to Alina that Alina, she has such soft hands. Do you use any, right? Do you make your own oils or lotions that you use?
We do. Blue petal not only grows most of our herbs, and surprisingly, I do use our products to make the hands soft, but growing culinary and medicinal herbs makes that connection at the product end of the line, that you know what you are putting into that product. Working on the land makes your hands strong and your body strong, but as the age comes, it's nice to have a soft hand to take care of yourself and your hands. So yes, we do use it a lot, and most of our products do have a bit of honey as a part of it because of the characteristics and properties of the honey.
And while you were talking about, you know, your expat life and everything, you know, I found myself so much in it, because, like with us, we also came to New Zealand with oil and gas. So my husband came as an expat, and things were changing for us because we decided to be local. So we gave up our expat life just to live here in New Plymouth. And also there is a very challenging times at the moment with oil and gas industry. What would you say from your perspective, you know, as a coming from another country and settling in New Plymouth and going through that restructuring? What was helping you in those times, and how did you find your feet to make yourself at home again?
It is, we all have our own path, but we are not alone, can't live alone. We do, wherever we are, tend to come across people, and I think it's the path that puts us across those people, and people on the same frequency stay with us, and those are the connections and friendships that develop, and that's where that support that's present here in New Plymouth, and probably throughout other places, we just have to be open and feel it. It's so easy to run and rush through life. But if you take a moment and open your eyes and open your ears, you'll see a person that it needs to be there for you. Will it be the work-wise, family-wise, health-wise? It's nice to recognize a friend wherever you are.
Nice. Yeah, and going through, and I know that there are a lot of people going through similar situations, so I think it would be nice if we all come together and talk about this kind of thing. So, for example, you know, the radio, it's a good opportunity.
Great place to find.
To find new people
who are open and willing to be
for you. So the most important thing is the community, right? So this is what help you to strive, right? And do your own blue petal business through those times.
Yeah.
And how is with the process of doing your products? Is there something that you had from your previous job as an oil and gas industry? Or how do you do your products?
In a way, while being, it's like completely shifting a frame of mind. I can remember working for a few oil companies here in New Zealand And it was a struggle from getting up early, organizing the family and the husband to one side and the child to the school, zooming to work and full on. They usually squeezed a full day, or I must say with my expectations and details, squeezed the whole day, 8 hours into my short term day, because I had to zoom to pick up my child and skipping the lunches, raiding my boy's lunchbox, whatever he didn't eat, I was happy to grab, to not to be hungry. But the body tells you when it's enough, it's enough. If you don't recognize it, something will break.
Yeah, it's so true.
That's why coming back and deciding to feed the family organically, going through those organic courses, working on the land and developing it towards, you don't know at the decision when you start, change your path, where will it lead you? But if your body is telling you that's a good way to go, there's no point of going, getting stressed and feeling that your body is giving up, being on that stress, having that stress from day in, day out. That horticulture led me to Blue Petal and herbs, where I feel comfortable. It is coming to the point that there are a lot of things to do, from and having head not big enough for all the heads to carry, from growing herbs to making products to marketing to financial part to putting time into the wards, while still having the household and cleaning and cooking and maybe going out to the theater and having a cup of coffee with friends.
Yeah. It's so important, right, to have that moment to have a cup of coffee with friends.
Oh, very important, just to sit down. And then it comes to the point that you can bounce those ideas and accept the point of view that you maybe didn't even know that it's that enlarges and enhances our daily lives.
Absolutely. And it's always a good idea to grab a cup of coffee with your friends or your colleagues, whoever you're comfortable with, because at times just meeting them, talking, unwinding can give you so much clarity that maybe you were stuck somewhere, but just talking to somebody else and they say something or they pass a comment could be just, could change your day, could change your life, could change your years. And so it's always a good idea to step out for yourself. And eventually you do end up making good friends. And I agree with you that that's the whole idea of coming together as a community.
Yeah. So important, right?
Agree,
right? So beautiful. And you have such a beautiful and calming voice, Martina. You know, like when I was having, because Martina and myself, we had a recording for Martina's show here at Access Radio. She does a herbal wisdom show, which is for half an hour. And I was coming rushing, you know, to the show because I had also other things before. And whenever Martina, she was just calming me down by with her voice and her tone. And I was very curious, is something that you have, or did you realize that you have such a calming voice, or something that came with time? This wisdom, right? Herbal wisdom. It's not only the herbal wisdom, but just the wisdom inside you.
It is something probably with me, or probably developed through time, and all the stress as you have to deal it throughout your life. Will it be the oil industry or big changes? And you do accept what aligns with you and what works well. So it works well for me.
Amazing. Yeah. And Tell us a little bit about Croatia, because I've never been there. I know it's quite near to Romania, and you said it's a great place to visit. Are there any foods or places that are specifically that we can go and see?
Going for holidays is always a good decision.
It is, right? Let's do it now.
Wherever you go, you will, if you're open, you'll find something, hopefully, that you resonate with, something that you would like to involve, get a part of your daily life. I was with my husband on a honeymoon in Rome.
Oh, amazing.
And just coming out of the main thoroughfare, big, busy part, at the back roads, there was a little tiny cafe place where we stopped at the big midday heat. And they served us a yogurt, honey, and some nuts, probably a dessert. So simple, so
refreshing.
No reason why we couldn't have it in any combination of different yogurts, different nuts, different honey, or anything in between, but on a midsummer day where it was so hot in that Roman spot, it's something that stayed with me. In Croatia, there are so many traditional and probably modern delicacies or simple things. I know for Christmas, there are a few traditional things that I would make. Again, it's from family to family. I would have a recipe pie by Auntie so-and-so or squares, coconut squares from that person, because it not only ties it to a person who gave you the recipe, but you always adjust it to your own household and the way you like. So I have a baklava by my friend Maya, who now lives in Canada. It's not as sweet, and I adjust it my way. Everyone loves it, of course.
Of course, I would love it.
It can be made any other time of the year, but that's the time I do it for Christmas. And, of course, with the sauerkraut, there is another dish that I made traditionally. That's the way how my mum would do it. In Croatia, Christmas is mid-winter, and for the celebration, you eat a whole lot of heavy food. Sauerkraut will help you digest and help in that process. Winter time in New Zealand is June, July, August. So to me, it sounds like summer in Croatia. Anyway,
like summer for us, right?
Sauerkraut is good. It develops, helps your digestion, helps you with the probiotics in your body. It should be eaten not only for Christmas. And we can organize a workshop.
Yes, we can, right?
On that level. Eating is a big and important part.
It is, right? In Europe, I feel like for us also, it's an important thing, and to have food
and
on
eating
the table.
Right. Like, like proper food and understanding what you're eating. I think when I wasn't married and I was obviously with my parents, for us, June, July, August is summers back in Pakistan, whereas winters is from November onwards. And every winter we'd, before winter starts, it's very normal in Pakistan, families start gathering dry fruits and nuts, because in winters, when you eat a lot of different kinds of nuts, it kind of gives you warmth to your body. And in summers, when you were talking about yogurt, yogurt is a big part. It's good for digestion, keeps your body cool. So we make those yogurt lassis.
Amazing. Yeah.
Or just eat a small bowl of yogurt after you've had your main meal. And it's good for digestion, and it keeps you cool throughout the day as well.
Cucumbers.
So, yeah, cucumbers also.
Cucumbers,
so,
yeah.
Yeah, so I think whatever you eat, be mindful of that as well, because it does affect how your body is. And it took me a few years, and after I had my kids, that's when I realized that I need to introduce all that in my foods and in our lifestyle also. Because that does help us, and it helps with these infections and the bacteria and viruses also.
There is a reason why historically these things worked. And it's so easy to forget these things when you're so busy in your busy lifestyle.
And you also have, because I know one of your workshops for winter is making this beautiful drink with garlic and orange, right? And
it has a whole lot of.
Tell us about that one.
In America, they would call it fire cider.
Yeah.
It's infusion in apple cider vinegar of all the immunosupport and digestive plants, starting from garlic, turmeric, ginger, onions, citrus, horseradish, and over time that infusion, we usually at Blue Petal start a day with a little sip just to wake you up and shake the cobwebs. And that's something that we do teach and show how can be made and how can be used just for the body support.
Yeah. And it was amazing after you did that workshop, and my friend Elena, who is also from Romania, she made it, and when we were going to her house, she had the small
jar,
a small jar, and it was garlic with all the herbs that you said. And she gave one to me, to my kids, and my husband came and he said, take this.
Poor husband.
It's very good for you, you know?
Yeah.
And he
That's
took
how
it.
The grandmothers would do it.
Yes, yeah. And she was doing that for us. And I was thinking, oh, yes, so nice. It reminded me from Romania when, like, my grandmother.
You would have something like that.
Yeah, we have something like that. And my mother was just giving.
How
just,
would you call it?
Just take it.
Even in Pakistan, yeah, we have something similar as well.
Exactly.
And that's got me thinking that there's so many these herbal medicines or concussions. It's all over the world, and somehow we're all so interconnected. We're like using the same ingredients, what our great grandparents or generations before them been using it, and we've just switched to these medicines from chemists and
where,
all these pharmacies, and they're doing nothing. I think they're just ruining our bodies in a way. But these were the things that kind of helped us, like when anytime we had a bad cough, a teaspoon of honey, black pepper or
ginger,
and you either take a bite of it, have it with the spoon, or they'll make something to drink, maybe a quarter cup and ginger, some citrus in it, honey and black pepper.
Yeah.
And just got me thinking that everybody's been doing that all around the world.
Exactly. It's something that brings us together, right?
It's so interesting to know how herbs played such a big role.
And tell us a little bit about the garlic, because I have a friend of mine who takes like one clove of garlic.
Raw
one. She's just swallowing it.
Raw garlic has the most potent properties, will it be from antiviral or immunosupport. We use it a lot in cooking, so those properties are not as potent due to the heat. The other way of getting the great benefits out of garlic is by fermenting it in honey.
Oh, is it?
Honey fermentation. Just to be aware that it develops some gas, so it needs to be closed, but from time to time they're so-called burped.
Like a baby, right?
Like a baby, yeah, it is a baby. A lot of babies with the fermentation. Yeah, so it's a lovely way. It reduces that pungency of garlic.
Mm-hmm.
And you get the support from honey and the garlic.
And garlic. So you do it like if you have a jar with honey, you just put the cloves of inside and you leave it there for how long, or doesn't matter?
Well, at least a few weeks to start with.
Okay.
And then you, whenever you feel those special symptoms of yours, mm-hmm. each of us are different,
mm, yeah.
will it be a tickle at the back of your throat mm. or achy bones? kill it at the beginning with a little bit of immunosupport.
Oh, it's amazing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I will try that in the honey. It's special taste, I think.
And just listening to you, your house must smell really good.
It does, right? I was visiting.
You didn't come to the house this time. Next time.
Okay. Next time, yeah.
Yeah, it was just a workshop.
It was a workshop. Yeah, yeah. I was going to your studio, obviously, right? It was not your house. Okay.
No.
But it was smelling beautiful, and she had so many herbs and stuff.
Well, for the workshop, especially now in winter, one of the approaches is to make people comfortable.
Yeah.
And it's not only by the temperature warmth, but it's also through the smell and visually.
Mm.
So having a mulled wine with all the herbs slowly warming on the fireplace spreads that spice smell that people feel comfortable.
Mm-hmm. Nice. And I'm still curious about the moment that you came first to New Zealand, because also for us, when we came first time, there were some things that were challenging for us. What was for you at the beginning, like a cultural shock or something that...
I came to New Zealand in my early 30s, and coming from the war-torn country, I definitely came to a better place. I did leave my family and the work there. I had a little community of friends that were in a similar situation as I was. And to all of us, the most important thing here at the end of the world was to find a job. Once that's sorted, then you can kind of live and breathe easier, because on once it's always that balance. Once you have a job, you have a bit of a financial support, but you don't have a time.
Mm.
And while looking for a job, you have a whole lot of time, but not having a financial support, it's a bit hard times.
Mm.
So that balance needs to be put throughout your life. But I can see that question that you asked for the challenges more through my parents' point of view. They came to New Zealand for a visit after probably 5 years, as I was here already settled. It was such a big cultural, geographical shock on any way, shock on their bodies, because they were in their, I don't know, late 60s, 70s. The plants were different. Mm. The flowers, the plants were, the trees were flowering. To see Puhu Tukaba in flower, it's something for a person in Europe is magnificent.
It is.
Well, it's magnificent to mm-hmm. anyone. The houses were made on wooden frames. There is a reason for that. But for someone who is coming from a brick-laden house, it's a very different thing to see. A big difference on different levels, and they just couldn't see why should I stay here when I have my family back home. In time, they realized that I have a life here. and probably a better life. That I had a good job back home, but the whole country had a problem.
And when the country is in a challenging situation, sometimes, you know, for us, it's finding something better outside the country, which is, I know how what you're feeling, because it's the same for me, you know, given the situation that is now Romania, and the salary there, it's much lower, you know, especially the minimum wage,
but
which
again,
is a hard one. Yeah,
the cost of living is probably different to what we have here.
Yeah, and as I see, you know, I had just a friend visiting Romania, and she said that the cost of living is getting higher and higher. Mm. So it's the same price in Romania like here, you know, if you want to buy a bread or cheese or anything else, which is quite sad, you know, and I'm thinking, oh, what is happening, you know? Mm. Yeah, and I understand what you're saying.
And probably getting that job, it's even harder than some time ago.
Yeah, it is.
Mm-hmm. When you moved here, let's say you came 30 years ago and a few years passed, did you have that guilt on you that I have to carry my culture, my nationality now that I'm in New Zealand? Did you have that pressure on you that I have to carry my culture with me and I have to pass it on to my kids? So it doesn't just, I have not left everything in Croatia, but I did bring something with me and I want to carry that and I want to pass that on. Is it still there? Did you have that pressure on you? Or
when my parents came, my mum was a translator, but my father didn't speak English, so he had a bit of a harder time. They were putting pressure on me that I teach my child the heritage and the language. My husband is Kiwi, and I didn't speak much of the Croatian language in home, except in a community with friends. It is nice. My family knows that I'm Croatian. My family does speak some Croatian. It's usually during the lunch, dinner time, during the meal time, that we would mix everything in between Spanish and German and Italian and Croatian for words that we could have fun with, or little phrases. And of course, when talking to my husband and my boy would pick up those words that I'm talking about. But I have a feeling that my boy will one day visit the country, maybe even stay longer, and speak the language. Problem is that when we visit Croatia, everyone speaks English to us. So it's lazy for him not to speak Croatian. And it does take me a day or two to switch the language across. However, early on when I was in New Zealand, and of course on a daily basis you speak English, after having a chat with mum and dad over the phone and someone knocks on a door, I just continue with this old language, and they would look at me very blankly. So it is a bit of a difference between a Slavic language and English. Mm. So you can read on someone's blank face that you are on a wrong one.
And I find myself in what you said, you know, because the family home, they put some pressure on you. So the kids know, like for us, you know, when we go to Romania, they say, oh, why the kids don't talk so good Romanian? You know, you have to teach them and put an effort. And the same, you know, my mother-in-law, you have to teach them German. And put some, you know, emphasis in that. And we try our best, and sometimes because the way my husband and myself know each other is with English. We speak English.
Common denominator.
Exactly. And even though I know German, he knows maybe a little bit Romanian, our love language is English. Because whenever he talks in German, I feel like he's another person. And yeah. I'm thinking, oh, who is this guy? Because German sounds very straightforward, strong, and it's more like he's, you know, correcting me of doing stuff.
But he doesn't.
But he doesn't, right? It's just the cultural thing. Mm. And, yeah, I find myself in this situation that I have to explain why I don't do it. You know, we have here a new country. You know, it's everybody talks in English. I talk with my kids in Romanian, but they answer back in
English.
You know, in English, because it's easier for them. But I know they understand me, and I know that when I go somewhere and I want to talk about things that I don't want that the other people understand, I will talk in Romanian. Yeah. And I said, this is an advantage. Nobody understands us, right? I'm doing this kind of tricks.
Yeah, and I do that as well. When we're in a public place and my kids are doing something and I need to like scold them or just tell them that you need to stop it. So yeah. I'll switch to my language because I know nobody's going to listen to what I'm saying. They won't understand, but I'm just trying to tell my kids that you guys need to stop now.
Yes, and they know that.
And they understand Urdu and they have very broken Urdu. Like they speak Urdu, but it's not fluent, but they do understand what we're talking about.
Yes.
And they put the cultural background on board.
Yeah.
Will it be through the food or through the stories? It is at the back of their mind, and sometimes it just pops up.
Mm. Mm. Yeah, it's amazing when the kids are...
Yeah, it's quite interesting.
It's quite interesting. And I'm curious, what about your son is already 25 and you said he might go back to Croatia. Do you find in him like some Croatian roots or the way he's brought up to? How did you raise him? Or if there was an impact on that?
I can see through other kids growing and probably through myself and him the relationship within a family. Just the other day, I was talking to some friends, and Mum was saying, can you please say that aloud, louder? Because when I say it, it doesn't matter. But when someone else reinforces, and we all parents do it, because our teenagers need time to realize that, and they do, what we are teaching and trying to tell them is for their own good. The teenage time is a time of rebellion.
It is.
And time that mum and dad don't know what's happening and they know much better. But in time, their frame of mind changes and they are more mature and realize that parents do love them.
Yeah, it's a big one, right?
It's a big one.
Yeah.
I don't know how much my boy... and which way he is going. At the moment, he is hopefully finishing his studies and he's in his computer dungeon, hopefully with a few friends. They just came from his birthday celebration.
Amazing.
And a ski trip. And he wouldn't do that and he couldn't organize that few years ago. Now it's the time that he can and knows how to, from organizing his own food for few days that they were there, and they were all with the food special needs, how to organize the ski passes, how to get up in time. So, yes, we, and there are times when we as parents need to step back and let them be their own people. We are here for support. Of course, there is a different support from Croatian mum who wants him to be, can't say like mum, but with mum's values. And that's why you have a good support having both, hopefully both parents, where husband has a different approach and they can get the both from both worlds.
Yeah.
I think this is such a good suggestion and advice for the young moms. Because at times we can be just like helicopters over our kids, like do this, do that. No, this is not right. But that can be really tiring as well.
Yeah,
it is. But they sometimes need it. My after school here in New Zealand, there is so many options for our young ones, and we as parents would like to give them that opportunity. When my boy was younger, we tried from piano to swimming to tennis. And
we know that, right?
We all know that. And from child to child, it's different.
Yeah.
As long as they try, will it be ceramics or ballet or whatever, they will find something that suits them and that stays in time. That can be just a puzzle. Because he started playing piano for a while and then get out of it. And that's fine. But in time in school, they have accordion or whatever they had there. And that previous knowledge helped a lot.
Wonderful. Thank you.
That's nice.
Thank you for sharing that, Martina. I think it was a great...
Quite a great conversation.
And I know we have a last question. We have a few more minutes left. If you can tell us, what would you recommend to people who are new in New Zealand and how should they make themselves at home?
They probably came with the intention of coming to something better. Even with that intention, it's important to have a support. Will it be a support of the family or support of a community? There is a lovely multicultural, multi-ethnic society here in Taranaki, very active. There is Alina and...
Geeta
and your name?
Avna.
Who have a lovely... radio show here at Access Radio Taranaki, supporting and sharing our paths. There is knowledge, there is a support. Sometimes we do need to knock on a door. Sometimes those doors are always open, but don't be afraid to knock.
Yes, such a good advice, I think.
Thank you so much.
The courage to have the power to knock on the door and ask for an advice.
It's pushing the boundary.
Pushing the boundary.
And that's why they came here. They already pushed it.
They already pushed it, right?
It's
a long way. It's a long
way,
right? And once you're here, just do it and go out and...
It's on the path. You can't stop. It's the way to go ahead.
And I think it takes a lot of courage to take those steps, especially in a new environment and in a place that you don't know how everything works, how people react, but you still go for it. And I think that takes a lot of guts and courage.
And it's different for probably husband who is at work, leaving a wife who has to fight for herself, taking care of the family and the kids and everything else in that society without a support.
And
we are here.
We take care of our kids and our families and our society.
And someone who probably already went through that problem that you don't know how to deal with. So do ask. Don't be afraid.
Don't be afraid to ask. Such a great wisdom from you, Martina, and I think the radio name, you know, Herbal Wisdom, really suits you. And I think it's not only herbal, but it's also life wisdom.
Yeah.
So hopefully you introduce that in your show about life. And yeah, it was a pleasure for me to meeting you and have this conversation. And thank you so much, Amna.
Thank
for,
you, Alina.
For being here and helping us co-host this show. It was a wonderful show. And for everybody who listens to the show, we are live each Monday, 11 a.m. till 12 p.m. Here at Access Radio Taranaki. And yeah, talking about our stories around New Zealand. So thank you for being here.
Thank you
for having me.
Have a nice day.
All the best.
Thanks for listening to this episode. For more information and others just like this, head along to our website, accessradiotaranaki.com.
This is me, Ori Global, probably the most influential Bisaya music radio show in the world. Sogdanta.
This show was made at Access Radio Taranaki with help from New Zealand On Air. To find more local content, go to www.accessradiotaranaki.com.